This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Monday, June 27th. Good morning and welcome to this special post-row edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Our producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us. It's good to be with you on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. This morning, in the aftermath of the historic Supreme Court ruling that overturned Roe v. Wade, we have a special program for you with reaction from some of America's strongest voices for the culture of life. As a post-abortive father and an adoptive father, I passionately believe that the issue of abortion is not merely a religious issue or a political issue. It's not just a Catholic issue or an evangelical Christian issue. It's not a Republican or a Democratic issue. The fight to end abortion, which is still not over, is the most important human and civil rights issue of our time. One that affects all of humanity, because without the right to life, there are no other rights to talk about. On Friday, on the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, after over 460 million memorari prayers here at Relevant Radio and a 405-day novena during the Family Rosary across America, just minutes after Roe was overturned, our Relevant Radio CEO, Father Rocky, told Patrick Madrid that this is a big win for humanity and the unborn child.
This is very good news. This is truly a very historic day, not only for the United States of America, but for the entire world, because the entire world is watching what we do in this country. It's really a huge majority of the Supreme Court justices who have sided with the life of the unborn child. It's 6-3. Now, I was just reading an article in the Wall Street Journal, and they characterize it as a deeply divided court. That simply is not the case.
Right.
A deeply divided court would be 5-4. This is 6-3, and that's an overwhelming majority of the Supreme Court justices have come down to recognize that in the United States Constitution, there is no constitutional right to abortion. This is a win for humanity. It's a win for the unborn child. We hope it's a win for families and mothers and fathers. You know, that's going to be a lot of work that we need to do.
I want to bring in our Relevant Radio news anchor, Glenn Leverance, and producer Sarah Tafoya for yet more reaction to Roe v. Wade being overturned after this weekend of celebrations and protests across America. Glenn, Sarah, your thoughts.
Well, it was amazing. You know, as much as we've talked about life, the entire life of Relevant Radio, and even before that, to see Roe v. Wade put away, it's a great thing. It's very, of course, a great thing. But the division that brings up, you know, pro-life and anti-life rallies across the country over the weekend. And my Facebook feed, you know, has a variety of folks on it. Radio friends through the years, college friends from back in the 80s, many with differing viewpoints than many of my Catholic and Christian radio friends. And to see some of the misinformation out there on social media, it's kind of sad to see some of the unnecessary fighting, to see people so willing to overlook what really happens in an abortion. And then also, you know, people running with the bandwagon that this is just the first step on a slippery slope to all sorts of things being overturned. I see a lot of fear being promoted out there in an effort to, you know, affect an election coming up this fall.
Absolutely. And Sarah, as a Catholic mom, what are some of your thoughts?
Yeah, no, Glenn, I'll echo a lot of what you said. It just is so disheartening when we were having such great celebration on that day, the darkening of hearts that was going on from the misinformation and just everyone just, trying to get people riled up to make abortion some amazing thing that was just taken away from women instead of exposing what it really is, just the hurting of women and the hurting of innocent little babies. And it's just so disheartening. So we just have to keep praying. We have to keep prayer for those people who are being misguided, and prayer for ourselves that we don't get so worked up that we push them further away instead of helping them to understand what abortion really is.
And for me, as a post-abortive man and an adoptive father, it was a great joy to see this moment on Friday of Roe v. Wade finally being overturned. My son, who is now 14 years old, Joseph Dominic, he could have been one of those 63 million unborn children that have died since Roe v. Wade. So many, many emotions, and we're going to break it all open here with many different pro-life leaders throughout the morning. Thanks again, Glenn and Sarah. We begin, as we always do, in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. We're praying this morning for our nation's healing, for all mothers, for families, and for the honoring of life from conception until natural death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life and of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 7. God's Word says, for everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak. This is the time for men and women to speak out, to let the truth about abortion and its effect on women and men to be heard from coast to coast. As the great Archbishop Fulton Sheen once said, the truth is the truth even if nobody believes it. An error is an error even if everybody believes it. We must be not afraid. We must be fearless in standing up for life, in exposing the truth, and showing what true compassion is. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, we trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show and on Facebook. Our email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, in the aftermath of the historic Supreme Court ruling, how is the pro-life movement reacting to the reversal of Roe v. Wade after nearly 50 years of waiting? The pro-life movement is younger than ever before. It's better organized. It's more strategic in its thinking. It's more media savvy and more relentless than ever. One third of the youth doesn't exist. This is the generation that has longed to end abortion. The pro-life generation is now the post-Roe generation. Listen to some of the reaction from Students for Life of America.
Roe v. Wade has finally been reversed and thrown into the ash heap of history.
Roe v. Wade has violently taken the lives of more than 63 million preborn children. But today, that reign of terror is finally over.
The Supreme Court has now reversed Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton, throwing out these Supreme Court decisions that allowed for abortion through all 9 months for any reason, sometimes with taxpayer funding, since 1973.
This win for life today also means that now the state of Mississippi's 15-week abortion ban, which will eliminate painful second trimester abortions, can finally go into effect.
This victory has been made possible because of this abortion facility right behind me, the last remaining abortion facility within the entire state of Mississippi.
Because of their lawsuit fighting against Mississippi's 15-week abortion ban, the Supreme Court has not only upheld Mississippi's 15-week abortion ban law, but they did something they should have done decades ago, righting the wrong of the egregiously decided Roe and Doe decisions, which have been responsible for more than 63 million abortions since 1973.
Now, over the weekend, there were many Students for Life of America, Life is Louder events in over 30 state capitals across our country. Now joining us live from Washington, D.C. for much more perspective is Kristen Hawkins, the president of Students for Life of America and Students for Life Action. Kristen is a Christian, a wife, a mother, a grassroots activist, author, speaker, and a human rights advocate who's coordinated a national team that serves over 1,200 Students for Life chapters in all 50 states and has trained well over 100,000 plus young people. Good morning, Kristen. Thanks so much for joining us from D.C. It is really great to be with you this morning.
It is an amazing day to be with you. Post Roe America Day 3, a day where we know right now, because of the 13 states that acted immediately on Friday to shut down their abortion facilities, over 400 children will be born in America today who were scheduled to die.
Wow, that's absolutely great, great news. I'd love to get your take, your emotions, your feelings, the moment the news broke there at the Supreme Court that Roe v. Wade had been overturned. What was it like?
You know, I've been out to the Supreme Court for, you know, for the past 16 years. Every time there has been a decision day, a hearing about abortion, Students for Life has been out there. You know, we've camped out nights before, reserving space. We've been out there every decision day since the end of March in rain, sleet, some snow flurries, blazing sun, waiting for this decision to come down. And so we had an idea that the decision would come down on Friday. So I was there. Our team was there. We had about 200 students. Sadly, not all 200 students could be with us the moment the decision came down because we had beefed up our security team because of threats and some incidents that had been occurring because of the radical pro-abortion activists who had been gathering. So we had about 50 students with us, and we had 150 students waiting to descend after the decision was announced. And it was overwhelming to be there. I was standing at our podium. Our sound amplification system, which the Supreme Court police had tried to shut down, which we refused, threatened a lawsuit in order to keep it going. We were cheering, we were chanting, we were praying. I was watching for the decision. Tina Whittington and Reverend Patrick Mahoney were standing next to me. I looked over. Tina said, "It's it. This is it." She handed me her phone. And they said, "Start to read, Kristen." And I had the extreme honor of reading the decision before the press and all those who had gathered. And immediately I had a very good friend in front of me, a photographer taking pictures of the pro-life generation standing behind me. He was pushed into our podium as the press descended. Our security team was forming a barrier around us. As you know, these shots were taken. You'll see me I was on the front of the New York Times. Our students were in front of the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post. And you'll see all of these students cheering, some who immediately began crying, praising God for this decision. It was, it's an overwhelming feeling to say that we were there, to say that, you know, while we were there, the pro-life generation was there, you know, you very much felt I called them the original, the OG pro-life generation, who was there in spirit. Folks like Nellie Gray, who Friday was actually her birthday, the founder of the March for Life. Folks like Joe Shiler, folks like Jack Wilkie, who live to see this day. One of my very good mentors, Phyllis Schlafly. These folks that are responsible for putting this in motion, this fight 49 and a half years ago, who never went silent on this issue, even when they were, you know, begged by their priests and their family members to just stop talking about abortion, to stop talking about the thing we're not supposed to talk about in polite company. It was because of their fight that they waged back in 1973, back in the 80s, even into the 90s, that we were able to finally see victory in 2022. It's an incredible, incredible moment to know that this decision will save millions of lives. We often hear, you know, from folks that what we do, how we vote, who we advocate for to serve in the White House, to serve in the U.S. Senate, has, you know, no meaning. Politics is meaningless when it comes to making abortion an unthinkable thing. And I believe it's very much, and we've talked about this a lot, John, over the years, this is a two-front battle to make abortion unavailable as well as unthinkable.
Well, Kristen,
it is quantifiable now, the lives that are being saved.
There is no question. And when you consider 63 million plus unborn children that have died in these nearly 50 years, it was all worth it. All the battles, all of these struggles over all these years from some of these great pioneers that you just mentioned, like Nellie Gray and Joe Shidler, who I had the honor of meeting and knowing both of them. Can you talk a little bit about the reaction from the other side, right from the first get-go to this entire weekend? There's been obviously a lot of anger, a lot of violence from these radical pro-abortion activists all over our country.
Yeah. We, you know, immediately they started yelling. They were pretty quiet in terms of what we've seen before in past decisions. You know, their leaders came out. Representatives came out from the House. AOC was there. Congresswoman Maxine Waters, chanting things like illegitimate, we won't obey, we won't comply, anarchy, essentially. We started hearing those threats. The pro-abortion activists, continue to yell and scream at our students, all the accusations that you can imagine, accusing pro-lifers of killing women, of standing for discrimination against women, of refusing quote unquote health care for women. And so we were very intentional about, trying to get our students away as much as possible from their screaming and their shouting, because so many of them were simply unhinged, would be, I think, a polite word to use. We left the Supreme Court about an hour and a half after the decision, as more pro-abortion activists started coming. We were outnumbered. We had outnumbered them in the moments leading up to the decision, when the decision was announced. But about an hour and a half after the decision, we saw more and more pro-abortion activists driving up, Ubering to the court, being there chanting, and it actually became a pretty unsafe situation. We had some team members out there on Saturday. We were here in Washington at our National Leaders Collective training our top 200 pro-life student leaders and meeting with the top pro-life champion state legislators all weekend. So we were a few miles away from the Supreme Court on Saturday, and we had some students from life staff out there monitoring the situation, and they saw some, pro-lifers being struck, being hit. Obviously we were very worried about Friday night's quote unquote night of rage, where there were flyers all over DC on Friday morning, declaring a night of rage, saying it would be an all out war on pro-lifers come 10 o'clock Friday night. And so we had to lock students into our hotel. We had security here around the clock, protecting us, asking the students, please do not, post on your Instagram what hotel you're at. It was a little scary, I will have to say, to be responsible for these 200 high school and college young leaders, and to make sure they were safe the entire time, checking on our national headquarters. We had all of our insurance policies gathered up, read through from our general counsel, ready to go if something were to happen at our national headquarters or some sort of property was vandalized. I've been thankful to see that, the level of vandalism hasn't been the level that I was predicting. It certainly has been escalating. We've had seen over 400 parishes, pregnancy centers vandalized or firebombed since the draft decision was leaked in May 2nd. And I do predict that we will see this violence protests that will continue into the summer, because, like I said, John, many of these folks are unhinged. We had women and men at the court with us who were in the audience, and I could tell were hurting from past abortions. And some of them, they would hear my words, they would hear our speeches, and they would put their head down and nod. And you could tell they were there. They weren't wearing a pro-life T-shirt or even holding a pro-life sign. But they had come out there for that moment because of their past abortion decision, because of that decision that's continued to, to hurt them their whole lives. But you also have many abortion advocates who are post-abortive, and their trauma that they've endured is what fuels their rage.
Well, Kristen, final minute that we have together. What is Students for Life of America doing now, moving forward to make abortion unthinkable? What are some of the next steps you have planned?
Sure. You know, our mission has always been to be a post-Roe organization. So day one in post-Roe America, our strategy remains the same. What were we doing on Saturday? We were knocking on doors in suburban Maryland, educating citizens, neighbors, about the predatory late-term abortionist Leroy Carhart that operates in our neighborhood, and about the life-affirming nonviolent pregnancy resource centers. We knocked on over 1,000 doors in suburban Maryland on Saturday. We also gathered at state capitals, 31 state capitals across the country, to hold rallies saying life is loud, demanding that our state officials uphold their pro-life values. So this is what we're going to continue to do. We're going to ensure no woman stands alone in a post-Roe America, and we're going to ensure state by state that state leaders, elected officials who pledge to be pro-life, remain true to those convictions and pass laws to make abortion unavailable.
Well, Kristen, we so much appreciate you being with us. Keep fighting the good fight of faith with the post-Roe generation. I so much appreciate you being with us.
Thanks for having me today.
Kristen Hawkins, the president of Students for Life of America and Students for Life Action. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, Sean Carney, the president, co-founder of 40 Days for Life, will join us with yet more reaction on post-Roe America. Stay with us. There's much more to come on this special edition of Morning Air.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149.
You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day. Welcome back to this special post-Roe edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. If you want to be part of the show, our number is 888-914-9149. Now, after five long decades, the Supreme Court has consigned Roe v. Wade to the ash heap of history. What does this monumental Supreme Court decision mean for unborn babies and their mothers across America?
The best thing about overturning Roe versus Wade is that it sends shockwaves throughout the world. America, as we've exported abortion to Africa and Latin America, America has corrected her error. And as Mother Teresa said over 30 years ago, if America gets back to her roots and she ends abortion, the world will follow.
And now joining us live from Houston, Texas, is Sean Carney, that you just heard, the president and CEO and co-founder of 40 Days for Life, the world's largest grassroots movement to end abortion. Sean co-authored the number one top-rated Christian book, 40 Days for Life, Discover What God Has Done, Imagine What He Can Do, and his recent book, What to Say When, the complete new guide to discussing abortion. Good morning, Sean. Thanks for joining us. Great to be with you once again here on day three of the post-Roe world.
Yes, happy post-Roe America. It's a great feeling. I think the air is a little fresher, and there's a lot of work to be done, but we are so grateful to God for the Supreme Court doing what they should have done. And that is correct, their error that we didn't ask for.
Well, Sean, I'd love to get you your thoughts on where you were on Friday morning, right about 10:10 Eastern time, and the emotions that went through you after all these days and all these years of praying and fasting and battling against abortion and realizing that Roe had finally been overturned.
It was surreal. We had expected that it would be today. Most of the lawyers that had argued the case that we've worked with the last year back in December said it would be June 27th, maybe June 28th. And so, you know, we were on schedule according to my mind, and I had stepped outside, and my wife came running out and said they overturned it. She was screaming frantically, and so, you know, I sprinted in the house and looked at the news, and then, you know, my phone was blowing up, and I started doing interviews. But we were ready for 40 Days for Life. We were definitely ready. We had a Rejoice and Resolve event where everybody went out to their local abortion facilities at the noon hour last Friday and prayed in Thanksgiving for Roe being overturned, but also to resolve to end abortion, because this goes back to the grassroots, where it will virtually be impossible in some of these states to make abortion illegal. But you can definitely close an abortion facility through a 40 Days for Life and with a pregnancy center. So Friday was awesome. It was a whirlwind. It was a great day for America, and it does show the world that we don't have to live with this sterile mentality that we can just divorce a mom from her child, call it a choice, and then sleep at night. We haven't been able to sleep at night as a country, and that's been very, very good for us.
Sean, as a Catholic Christian, can you believe that this happened on the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus?
I can. It was good. I was shaming myself, John, because I was like, of course it was going to be the solemnity of the Sacred Heart.
I called it the day before.
Okay, well, good job. You get the award. We need to get your Super Bowl prediction now, but it's very telling. And, you know, the church, we've just been through so much. You know, we've had all these scandals, we've had people leave the church, but we've also had this revival of vocations. We've seen the John Paul II generation, at the grassroots of the parishes take over the church, for the better. And it's been really awesome to see all these movements. But I think what we as Catholics should celebrate is when we are criticized by the world for the right reason. You know, they criticize us for the scandals and all of that, but when we truly witness to the truth of the gospel, to the love of Christ, and you know, everybody started going after Catholicism as if Pope Francis had overturned Roe v. Wade himself. But all those attacks are great. That is what we should be attacked from the world for. And I think it was a great moment for Catholics in America, for sure. And a much more diverse group of justices overturned Roe than the all-male Supreme Court that gave us Roe.
Absolutely. You know, from a historical perspective, this is really a big deal. This is the second time the Supreme Court has corrected a big error mm-hmm. in the history of our country.
It is. And Dred Scott was shameful, and it dehumanized blacks, and Roe v. Wade dehumanized the unborn, not because of the color of their skin, but their size and location. And I think all the listeners, you know, we've been saying this for a year, but especially the last few months, and we certainly saw it with the response to the book, What to Say When. The other side is simply ill-equipped for this moment. They have avoided discussing abortion. They have to deny science. They have to live in either vague rhetoric or anger. And they're having to talk about it. And I did a debate on the BBC yesterday on their morning program, and they had the CEO of the Organization for Separation of Church and State. And the woman was just not prepared to discuss abortion, that they – The day-to-day activities of a pro-abortion person doesn't really usually require that they defend their position. It's typically, I would never have one, but I believe in it, or women need to have a right to control their own body, and they don't want to acknowledge the fact that we put our nieces and our nephews and our grandkids on the refrigerator with the ultrasound picture, and we celebrate it, and then we can also tell a woman to go in at 25 weeks and have an abortionist kill her baby. And somehow that's not schizophrenic. So they've never had to get into that. And I think that most of the listeners have seen that, and they'll certainly encounter it in their daily lives. And it's a great time, you know, the harvest is full to win people to our side through not just through arguments, but through love and the reasoning. And I saw so many former pro-abortion feminists that were on all news networks saying, I just thought this was going to happen because I got convinced or I had doubts in the back of my mind over the last few decades, because the pro-life movement's done a good job stating their case and the pro-abortion movement hasn't. And I was so encouraged to hear so many people say that.
Sean, what does this Supreme Court decision, this historic decision, mean for unborn babies and their mothers across our country?
Well, instantly today, we're now at 13 abortion-free states. So the trigger laws are going into effect. I live in one of them. Texas was abortion-free the second that it came out. So immediately, we're going to start seeing abortion facilities close. Planned Parenthood has over 50 affiliates. They're kind of like franchises, but they're not franchises. They're just different affiliates, and they each have their own CEO. Those CEOs who know 40 Days for Life very well, who know the pregnancy resource centers very well, those CEOs will determine the future of abortion in America from their standpoint, from the other side's standpoint, because they have to make a philosophical decision that they will close or sell real estate, close facilities, sell real estate, and move those resources into a different state. And I think you'll start seeing those affiliates at Planned Parenthood merge and become larger. We've seen that on the Gulf Coast, and you'll see it at other places in the country just to try to survive. The other part of it is some of these affiliates are gonna grow. They're gonna build new abortion facilities. You're gonna see crazy governors passing laws that allow abortion through all 40 weeks. So we're gonna see that. We're also gonna see, and this is on the Real Work Begins part, and we're having a webcast tonight that people can join for free on where we go from here. But we're gonna start seeing these abortion facilities on border states. And we're going to be surprised, John, at which states aren't abortion-free. There are some states, when you get into the details, Florida definitely is going to have an issue becoming an abortion-free state. Kansas is not even close. You know, you have a lot of states that I think people would just assume, oh, they won't have abortion. And it's gonna be more work than most people realize.
There's no question that there's a lot of work to do. But when you reflect on this moment, what does the end of Roe say about the power of prayer and fasting? After saving over 21,000 babies from abortion, 117 abortion clinics closing because of the incredible work of 40 Days for Life.
Well, of those abortion facilities we've closed, the local leader will always call and say, I just never thought it would happen. I never thought my abortion facility would close. And you can close an abortion facility, but not alone. If you go out there and you pray and you fast, and we don't treat the victory of the cross like, hey, we know who wins at the end of the book, you know, as a casual catchphrase, we really do know who wins at the end of the book. And that win is a true victory. And that's what the overturning of Roe represents. All the listeners know the family has been beaten with a baseball bat the last 50 years in the United States of America. We needed a culture war win, and we got a big one on Friday, and it's something we should rejoice. We should praise God for, to him be the glory, and then we should get to work and trust that you can influence your city, your state, with the gospel. We just have to get to work. And so keep praying, keep fasting, and there's a lot of work ahead for sure.
Sean, what do you think that this decision means for your 40 Days for Life campaigns? Are you going to be making some changes, some adjustments here in the post-Roe time?
Oh, for sure. And we started preparing for this when Kavanaugh got in. Because we knew Trump was kind of saving Amy Coney Barrett and that she would have a shot to get in. So we started our post-Roe plan in 2018. We were ready. I've been very proud of our team. It's one of the reasons we launched 40 Days for Life University to train more people in sidewalk counseling. You can get that training at Sidewalk Outreach. It's on our website. It's $29, and it's short and to the point, and that will be so important. We launched 40 Days for Life 365, and that has blown up, John, just this month, especially with the overturning of Roe, where we'll have year-round vigils outside of abortion facilities. It's detrimental to the bottom line of an abortion facility. And so for us, our work doesn't change. The geography will be adjusted. But, you know, we're on the front lines because there's going to be a major enforcement issue. You start to see these crazy prosecutors saying, well, I'm not going to follow the law and I'm not going to prosecute an abortion doctor. So that'll be up to us on the front lines to handle that. And certainly we'll see an increase in campaigns. 40 Days for Life is bigger in places where abortion is supported. California is our biggest state, New York, New Jersey, so Florida. So those are our larger states. And we're in the best position to go to work because we've been in those states for a long time.
No question that 40 Days for Life is doing incredible work, a lot of work to be done in the post-Roe America. Thank you so much for being with us, Sean. So much appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you. God bless. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Sean. Sean Carney, the president and CEO and co-founder of 40 Days for Life, 40daysforlife.com. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Former Planned Parenthood director and whistleblower turned pro-life advocate Myra Rodriguez will join us with yet more reaction and how overturning Roe will impact Hispanic women. Stay with us. There's much more to come on this special Morning Air edition here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149.
You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
You fly, you fall, life is beautiful.
And welcome back to this special post-Roe edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance and Sarah Tafoya. Good to be with you this morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. On Friday and over the weekend, the reaction to the overturning of Roe v. Wade from the left and from pro-abortion politicians was over the top. Even some members of Congress became unhinged, including Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. AOC, as she is known, told pro-abortion activists that the Supreme Court's decision was illegitimate. And now joining us live from Phoenix, Arizona is Myra Rodriguez, the former director of three Planned Parenthood clinics in Arizona, who received the Planned Parenthood's Employee of the Year Award. She turned a whistleblower and is now a national Hispanic pro-life leader. Good morning, Myra. Welcome back to Morning Air. It is great to be with you, especially this morning.
No, John, it's so good to be here with you. I mean, we spoke about this, a few months ago? And expecting that this would happen, you know, we knew the reaction of the other side. We knew that AOC, like she likes to call herself, has been supported by Planned Parenthood for her career. And right now, all these politicians that receive money from my former employees should be answering on how this happened under their time.
Well, Myra, it happened. After so many years of praying and anticipation, it finally happened on Friday. Did you ever imagine that this day would come, that Roe v. Wade would be overturned? What was it like the moment you found out?
Well, you know, I praise Our Lady of Guadalupe. Remember when I talked to you last time, I stepped in the Basilica of Mexico City for the first time in 28 years. Back in October when I went for the Mexico City big March for Life. And I prayed for her to give us a miracle, to give Latin America a hope, right? Because Latin America has been facing this battle so strongly for the last few months that I, you know, can we get a miracle? And I think this is it, you know, this is not only for the American people, but for the entire world to show that abortion could be overturned, that we can go backwards in our decisions, just like I did, you know, in my personal story.
Myra, do you think that this overturning of Roe v. Wade sends a message to Mexico and to the rest of Latin America and to the world?
Definitely it does. It sends a message, you know, on both sides. So for the people that are pro-life, you know, to see that 49 years, you know, like the pro-life movement in the United States has been praying and working hard for 49 years, and finally right now they can see a positive side on it. I think that gives them hope. And also the other side, as you know, is working tirelessly to get the border towns, you know, knowing that if you have seen that map, how good it looks that a lot of the border states with Mexico will have restriction on abortion. And that's why they're working so hard to open up Planned Parenthood facilities in those border towns.
There's no doubt that over the years, Planned Parenthood has specifically exploited and gone after Hispanic women in our country. What do you think that this decision will mean, especially for Latina women and for Latino men?
You know, it's very sad that you see a lot of pro-immigrant organizations pushing, you know, to be able to help immigrant women from those states where restrictions will happen for abortion, telling them that they will help them fly to California or Chicago, you know, or New York or all those states where they will be able to have an abortion, you know. It amazes me how we know the Latino community needs a lot more things, right, specifically in those cities where a lot of Latinos live, which is New York, California, and in Illinois, right? And they're making promises to help the rest of the country get abortions practically for free instead of worrying about the families they already have there. So it's very sad for the Latino community. What it means to Latinos that live in those cities is that they will struggle more economically because their cities will spend money financing Planned Parenthood, right? And then for the Latinos that are in states where abortions will be restricted, they will find the real help. We will work tirelessly to get women the real help they need, because that's what this means now, John. It just means that we need to work harder in providing the solutions that women have been looking for instead of abortion.
Myra, you spent 17 plus years with Planned Parenthood. You know exactly what goes on inside those clinics. For you personally, considering where you were before and where you're at now with Our Lady of Guadalupe's help, what does this decision mean for you personally?
Well, you know, it means for a lot of us as a former abortion workers that we've been seeing, we had been fooled by the abortion industry, you know. Remember the part when they told that their abortion was only 3% of their business, but right now you can see them struggling and hurting and closing down clinics because they show the truth. Abortion was not only 3% of their business. Abortion was their business. And now, to me specifically, it's time for Planned Parenthood to prove that they really care for women and provide preventive cares or provide other services, you know. I would like to see Planned Parenthood provide real women services instead of abortion, you know, but you can see them just crying about abortion. They don't care about anything else.
What do you think we're going to see in some of these states? Do you think you're going to see more Planned Parenthood clinics closing?
Yes. We're going to see more Planned Parenthood clinics closing. You can expect them to open mega clinics on border towns, for example, border towns with California and Arizona, border towns with New Mexico and Arizona and New Mexico and Texas. You can expect that. You can expect mega clinics that will provide abortions in those border town cities and just like border town with Mexico too, right? As you know, we are down to the fight on Sonora and Chihuahua and Nuevo León, which are the three border states, biggest border states with Mexico, and they're all fighting right now for the same Roe v. Wade that Mexican Wade in each of their states. So you can expect that. They will invest their money on that and start closing down the clinics in the states where abortion has been restricted. That's what the word is right now.
Myra, what are your thoughts on the way that the pro-abortion forces have responded over the weekend, beginning as soon as the announcement came out in front of the Supreme Court with rallies and demonstrations and even violence in so many parts of our country, in the major cities all across the U.S.?
You know, John, I was not surprised. I mean, we expected that. I mean, we saw their behavior 2 years ago with a different movement, and I'm not surprised. You know, we're not surprised because President Joe Biden has been inciting them to do this. Kamala Harris did the same thing. I mean, the major in one of the majors of Illinois did the same thing, you know, inciting people for violence, you know, to act with violence. It's very sad. You know, all we have to do is keep praying. I spent all my time in church yesterday praying, God, do not let this divide us, you know, to show people that this is a good thing for women, right? That a lot of us as abortion workers know that women don't need abortion. So You know, like sometimes you pray as a former abortion worker, you pray that people see what you have seen so they can stop pushing women for that.
Myra, I know you've been involved with 40 Days for Life and with your friend Abby Johnson, and then there were none. What does it mean, this decision that overturns Roe v. Wade, for organizations like 40 Days for Life and Then There Were None, which is post-abortion workers that are today pro-life?
Well, for 40 Days for Life, can you imagine? I mean, all those campaigns paid off right now, right? And to know that we just have to work harder on the states that are going to allow abortion to the extreme, like California and New York. And for And Then There Were None, we have been telling people on social media, Abby Johnson posted a message saying, if you work for the abortion industry, we know you're scared right now. We know that you're afraid to lose your job. Well, you should know that there's places for you to go, and we're here to help you.
Myra, what can we do as people of life for women and for the unborn now that Roe has been overturned?
Well, we should not stop praying. That should not happen. We should continue to pray because now the battle is going to our states. We need to continue to pray. We need to continue to elect pro-life officials. We need to continue to work on helping women and donating to our charities that help women in need, you know, that help the women that are pregnant, to the pregnancy centers. As you know, the attack on them has been big. So we need to work harder to help those centers. But above all, continue to pray. We should not stop praying. The war's not over.
There's a lot of work to be done from a spiritual perspective. A final thought on how important praying specifically to the patroness of the unborn, Our Lady of Guadalupe, has been for you in this battle.
I have no words to describe what she has done to be personally in my life, the miracles, John. It's very important to continue to pray to her and praise her and thank her. You know, above all, be grateful of what she has done for us. This is a head start they've given us, and we have to take advantage of that and continue to work for women and the unborn.
Final word on how we can make abortion unthinkable in this country.
I think just by raising pro-life families at home, you know, just showing them what God wants us to do and following God, following Jesus.
Well, Myra, I so much appreciate you being with us. Your journey has been truly inspirational, from Planned Parenthood to a national pro-life leader. Thanks so much for sharing.
Thank you, John. It's so good to be with you all the time. Thank you.
God bless you. Myra Rodriguez, former Planned Parenthood Employee of the Year, turned whistleblower, and now national pro-life leader. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Road Trip by Tamala Meredith Partridge. Donald and Dee Dee and I always plan a road trip twice a year to get away from it all and celebrate our friendship. We never go very far from home, as it's not the location itself that's important. Instead, we usually rent a hotel room nearby, order room service, and completely relax. We talk, listen, laugh, and catch up on each other's lives while placing our family and work responsibilities temporarily aside. Granted, you can't go away on a friendship retreat like this with just anyone, but the three of us have been close friends for a long time. We accept and understand each other, whether we're shining in our best light or standing in the dark, looking quite dim. Our friendship is that simple and that complex. Our most recent road trip occurred at the spur of the moment. When Donald called and mapped out the plans for the unexpected and impromptu outing, I immediately said, "Count me in, I'll be there." The three of us cleared our work and family schedules, and we were cruising down the highway in Donald's van 2 days later. Absorbed in conversation, we hardly noticed the perfect spring weather outside. Not a cloud was in the sky, except for the fleeting shadow that flickered inside the van as we rounded the last corner to our destination. Pulling into the parking lot, we gathered up our belongings, locked the van doors, and walked through the building entrance. Exchanging brief smiles, we clasped hands and waited patiently at the check-in counter. "May I help you?" the receptionist queried. "Yes," Dee Dee answered. "We're here for my first chemotherapy treatment." Proverbs 18:24. There are friends who bring ruin, but there are true friends more loyal than a brother.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Really appreciate it. You can listen to any of Glenn's Story Corners. All you have to do is go to our Morning Air podcast at relevantradio.com. Now, coming up next hour here on Morning Air, you'll hear my conversation with former Planned Parenthood director Abby Johnson, the founder of And Then There Were None, who shared her emotional reaction to the overturning of Roe v. Wade just shortly after it happened. Pro-life attorney Mary Helen Fiorito will be with us to give us a legal perspective to the Roe decision. Plus, Eric Schiller, the executive director of the Pro-Life Action League, will discuss the pro-life response, and especially for him, the son of the legendary great Joe Schiller. So stay with us. There's much more to come next hour on this special post-Roe edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.